rooster for your morning. All the news you need to know. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Well, it is Frank Morano. Welcome to the 77 WABC Early News. Juliet is off today. She should be back tomorrow. And there's quite a bit happening in the news. We're going to bring you even more audio that you might have missed in yesterday's debate between Curtis Sliwa and Fernando Mateo. At least five firefighters and an EMS responder were hurt battling a warehouse fire in Staten Island. The man accused of attacking an Asian American woman on her way to work could be facing 25 years in prison if convicted. And it's opening day for the New York Yankees, and fans will be in the stands for the first time in over a year, which is certainly exciting. Sid Rosenberg is off as well. I actually just got an SMS text message from Sid Rosenberg just moments ago, and I figured it was going to be something important that he's texting me on his day off. And I look, and the text message reads, "Hey, did you hear? I'm on a show called Gravesend." And that is indeed correct. Sid is off today because he is filming the television program Gravesend. If you haven't heard about it, chances are you may need to get your hearing checked if you listen to this radio station. We wish him the best. It certainly sounds like a lot of fun. And I've never seen the show, but I will watch the episode that that Sid is in when that episode comes out. 5:07, we have traffic and transit on the 7s every 10 minutes this hour and the next hour. With Lou Adams.
Good morning, and despite the rain, we're off to a pretty quiet start around the tri-state so far. Southbound on the Henry Hudson Parkway at 158th Street, we had an accident cleared. Construction has been wrapped up at the city-bound Holland Tunnel. No major backups at the Lincoln, and so far so good at the George Washington Bridge. Up by Brantford, Connecticut, there's an accident northbound 95 after exit 56 that is blocking the left lane. Traffic sponsored by Exergen, accuracy matters. Receive a $5 rebate by trading up any non-contact thermometer toward an Exergen purchased at any retailer. Accuracy matters. Don't take a chance with non-contact thermometers. Exergen's accuracy is supported by peer-reviewed published studies. Details at Exergen.com. With traffic on the 7s, I'm Lou Adams on 77 WABC.
5:08, this is the 77 WABC Early News, where we bring you news, traffic, business, and a wide variety of other information that if you have a smartphone, you don't need me to tell you about. But one of those things is weather. It is going to be 53 degrees today. They're going to be showers early, and that's going to be partly cloudy for the rest of the afternoon. Windy at times and a chance of rain at about 60%. Now, going into tonight, Holy Thursday night, which for those of you that are off for Good Friday, used to be a big partying night, you're going to see some clouds with a low of 32. Now, the good news is for you on Good Friday, if you happen to be off, it's going to be partly cloudy, no rain, a little on the chilly side, 43 degrees, and then some beautiful weather for Easter weekend. It's going to be sunny on Saturday, 54 degrees, and Easter Sunday, it's going to be very nice, 62 degrees, perfect spring day, although it will be a little cloudy. Coming up a little bit later, we're going to talk with Simon Constable from the Wall Street Journal. He'll tell you what to expect economically and news-wise from this Joe Biden infrastructure bill. We're going to bring you some exclusive audio from yesterday's WABC Republican primary debate, the first Republican primary debate anywhere in New York City. All that and more on the 77 WABC Early News.
This is the WABC Early News.
5:10, this is the 77 WABC Early News. At 46 degrees, I'm Frank Morano. Now, the big story that everybody in New York's political circles are talking about is yesterday's 77 WABC Republican primary debate for mayor. Curtis Sliwa, who, in the interest of full disclosure, used to be a talk show host on this station, has been endorsed by the Staten Island and Brooklyn Republican parties. Fernando Mateo has been endorsed by the Bronx Queens, and Manhattan Republican parties. Further, in the interest of full disclosure, the Manhattan Republican Party is chaired by Andrea Katsimatidis, the daughter of our owner. These two mixed it up on a wide variety of issues yesterday. Great job moderating by Dominic Carter, who tried to pin down these candidates in terms of getting specific yes or no questions on a bunch of hot button issues.
Mr. Mateo, have you ever voted for de Blasio for mayor?
No.
Mr. Sliwa?
Hell no.
Mr. Sliwa, does President Biden complete his first term?
Yes.
Mr. Mateo?
Maybe.
Yes or no, Mr. Mateo?
The way he's looking, no.
Yes or... So what's the answer?
The way he's looking, no.
Okay, so no. Mr. Mateo, do you support digital vaccine passports? Yes or no? Yes. Or no?
Okay. Yes.
Mr. Sliwa?
No.
Mr. Sliwa, have you ever flown first class?
Yes.
Mr. Mateo?
Yes.
Mr. Mateo, should New York, as it was done today by Governor Cuomo, who signed it into law, should New York legalize recreational marijuana?
No.
Mr. Sliwa?
Yes.
Mr. Sliwa, should New Yorkers have to pay for bags at the supermarket?
No.
Mr. Mateo? Mr. Mateo, will you close Rikers Island Jail?
No.
Mr. Sliwa?
No.
The final lightning round question, and then the next voice after you, after mine, will be Rita Cosby's. Mr. Sliwa, have you ever donated in any given year at least 5% of your income or salary?
Yes.
Mr. Mateo?
No.
So there you have it. Fernando Mateo went on to correct that response and say he thought the question was asking donating to a politician, not to a charitable cause. And then he said he would have met that criteria of 5%. If you want to hear the entire debate, you can go to WABCradio.com. There's a big article about it in the New York Post, the New York Daily News. New York One's been doing a profile on it all morning. But the best thing you can do if you're interested in making your decision as a Republican is watch the entire 2-hour debate. Judge for yourself who you think got the better end of the argument. I tell you, at times it was pretty heated, with Fernando Mateo going after Curtis Sliwa on his troublesome record with the truth.
Curtis, why do you lie so much? You know, once a liar, always a liar. You sprayed your building with KKK and accused someone. You returned $300 claiming that a lady got robbed that never got robbed. I mean, you have done things that are unbelievable. Google Curtis Sliwa,
sure.
And you will see all the stuff. You know, listen, I invested.
What happened to your club?
Okay, first of all, it wasn't a club.
What was
it? It wasn't a club. You see, you've got to get the facts right, okay?
And that was pretty much the tone of the debate for the bulk of the 2 hours. We're going to bring you sports. We're going into Final Four and opening day. This is one of the exciting sporting times. Even though Sid Rosenberg is away, we've got sports with Christian Arnold. A whole lot more news, traffic, weather, business, you name it, all on the 77 WABC Early News.
All the news that's fit to be heard. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC.
5:15, 77 WABC Early News. I'm Frank Morano, and we have sports with Christian Arnold, who's sitting in for Sid Rosenberg.
Well, good morning, Frank. It's nice to be with you on the
Good morning, show. Christian.
Well, the big story in town, obviously, opening day here in the Yankees and the Mets, but the biggest story of it all is what's going on with the Mets. It came down to the wire, but Francisco Lindor is here to stay with the Mets on the eve of opening day. Lindor agreed to a 10-year, $341 million contract extension that is now the largest ever in franchise history. It more than doubles the previous record of $138 million over 8 years that the Mets gave David Wright in 2012. The news broke just before midnight and the day of Lindor's self-imposed deadline to get a deal done. The Mets star had said he would not negotiate a new deal during the season, and his contract expired after the 2021 baseball season. The Mets had previously offered Lindor a 10-year contract worth $325 million, but Lindor countered with a 12-year proposal worth $385 million. The Mets opened their season today in the nation's capital against the Nationals. First pitch is set for 7:09 on ESPN with Jacob deGrom set to start. Back here in New York, the town is abuzz as the Yankees open their season in the Bronx this afternoon. It will be the first time, as Frank mentioned, that Yankee fans have been in the stadium since 2019. Yankee Stadium, though, there is some concern, though, tonight that there, or this afternoon, I should say, that there could be rain that could dampen the party. Frank will have more on that in his weather report coming up a little bit later. Garrett Cole will have one special fan since he is starting for the Yankees this afternoon. His dad will be in attendance to watch him pitch.
Yeah, he's going to be here tomorrow. It's going to be pretty special for him. Can't imagine the feeling. I can't imagine what he'll be feeling. It was nice to get him into the playoffs last year and see a postseason start in San Diego. But this is the Mecca. I mean, this is Yankee Stadium. So he's going to be pretty fired up.
Tough night for the New York Knicks. They lose 102-101 after blowing a double-digit lead twice in the second half. The Brooklyn Nets take control of the East with a 120-108 win over the Houston Rockets. Hockey action tonight. The Rangers take on the Buffalo Sabres, and the New York Islanders host the Washington Capitals. With sports at 15:45, I'm Christian Arnold for the 77 WABC Early News.
5:17, time for traffic and transit on the 7s. Here's Lou Adams.
Good morning, and despite the rain, we're off to a pretty quiet start around the tri-state so far. Southbound on the Henry Hudson Parkway at 158th Street, we had an accident cleared. Construction has been wrapped up at the city-bound Holland Tunnel. No major backups at the Lincoln, and so far so good at the George Washington Bridge. Up by Brantford, Connecticut, there's an accident northbound 95 after exit 56 that is blocking the left lane. Traffic sponsored by Exergen, accuracy matters. Receive a $5 rebate by trading up any non-contact thermometer toward an Exergen purchased at any retailer. Accuracy matters. Don't take a chance with non-contact thermometers. Exergen's accuracy is supported by peer-reviewed published studies. Details at Exergen.com. With traffic on the 7s, I'm Lou Adams on 77 WABC.
$2 trillion. That is the cost of President Biden's infrastructure bill. I'll tell you all about it and how people are reacting.
All the news that's fit to be heard. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC.
519, the opening bell rings this morning after a late day dip in the Dow Jones Industrial Average kept the major indexes from having a clean sweep of gains yesterday. The tech-heavy NASDAQ, that's been battered in recent weeks, gained 1.5% on the day. At the close, the Dow was down 85 points. The S&P 500 gained 14, and the NASDAQ soared 201 points. But everybody is talking about infrastructure. The American Jobs Plan will not result in anybody making less than $400,000 paying more in federal income taxes. That's what President Biden said while laying out the infrastructure package in Pittsburgh. Instead, Biden noted the corporate tax rate would go up from 21% to 28%. He explained that will raise an extra $1 trillion in revenue over 15 years. The president insisted this isn't about penalizing anyone, and he has nothing against millionaires and billionaires. We'll be talking with Simon Constable from the Wall Street Journal in just 10 minutes about that. More business at 5:40. But first, let's check in with Deb Valentine with some of the local stories you'll be hearing about
change
all day.
The 47
light rain right now. I'm Deborah Valentine from the 77 WABC Early News Desk. Big fire on Staten Island yesterday. Went to 5 alarms. 5 firefighters and an EMS worker were injured in Mariners Harbor. That fire declared under control about 7:30 last night, and the cause is under investigation. Well, it is official. Adult use marijuana possession now legal in the state of New York. New York's embattled Governor Andrew Cuomo signing that legislation yesterday. Assembly Majority Leader Crystal Peoples Stokes co-sponsored that bill.
Whoever's 21 years or older will be able to legally buy cannabis from an authorized retail outlet and possess up to 3 ounces. They will also be able to grow their own plants.
Sales expected to be about a year away, though. Oh, rainy, breezy, cool day for opening day for the New York Yankees in the Bronx.
Fans will be back in Yankee Stadium for the first time since the start of the pandemic. Manager Aaron Boone says opening day is always a special day for everyone involved.
One of the things I try to make sure to get across to our guys is what an honor and a privilege and it is to, you know, suit up on opening day in the major leagues.
Just under 11,000 fans will be allowed inside the stadium due to COVID regulations. You need to show proof of a negative COVID test or proof of being vaccinated. I'm Bob Brown for 77 WABC News.
All right, WABC News time 5:22 from the 77 WABC Early News Desk. I'm Deborah Valentine.
All right, 5:22. If you were to guess how many is the optimal number of friends, what would you say? Evidently, British relationship mathematician and Oxford University evolutionary psychology professor Robin Dunbar has the number. The maximum number of friends that most humans can handle is 150. Including blood relatives. That's the magic number of friends required for success, as Dunbar writes in Friends, Understanding the Power of Our Most Important Relationships. This simultaneous ideal and upward limit of friendships is often referred to as Dunbar's number. I feel like I have more than 150 friends. I mean, look, it's true that it does take a lot of work, but I think I'm over 150. A ton of interesting news happening here in New York State. If you look, you heard from Deb Valentine that the news is very good for recreational marijuana smokers as it has been officially made legal. But the other thing that people are trying to figure out is how they're going to monitor people who are driving after smoking marijuana. Even Police Commissioner Dermot Shea said yesterday that he's concerned this could have some significant impacts negatively on policing and monitoring motorists who may be inebriated or driving under the influence. Speaking of policing, a New York City detectives union is looking for a suspect who verbally assaulted an Asian American detective. The Detectives Endowment Association released a picture of the suspect, who's also accused of mocking the detective and using anti-Asian slurs. The incident happened on March 11th at West 14th Street and 8th Avenue while the detective was on duty. The DEA saying it's looking to charge the suspect with civil damages. And a new study says New York City's Central Park has been featured in more movies than any other location in the world. Analysts with NetCredit put the list together, saying that Central Park has had more than 500 film credits dating back to 1900. Some well-known scenes include Will Ferrell's snowball fight in Elf, Macaulay Culkin causing trouble in Home Alone 2, and Bruce Willis's taxi ride in Die Hard with a Vengeance. Los Angeles's Bronson Canyon is listed second on the most filmed list. Speaking of movies and television, an Emmy-winning production designer was found dead in her New York City home under a pile of garbage. Police say 66-year-old Evelyn Sakash, a known hoarder, was found lying on her kitchen floor in the College Point section of Queens. She went missing 6 months ago and was found by her sister, who hired a cleaning crew to clear out the residence. It's not clear what actually caused Miss Sakish's death, but certainly an incredibly sad situation. And at 5:25, New Jersey officials say coronavirus variants could cause another spike in case numbers. Governor Phil Murphy says the pandemic isn't over. He reported yesterday nearly 4,600 new infections yesterday. Officials believe the Garden State has entered a third wave of the pandemic, with current models predicting a peak by the middle of May. This as nearly 1.6 million New Jerseyans have been fully vaccinated. Speaking of New Jersey, they'll soon be committing $25 million in grants for micro businesses hit hard by the pandemic. Governor Murphy says he'll sign the bill into law today as the measure looks to use CARES Act money as well as funds from the latest stimulus. Officials within New Jersey's Economic Development Authority will determine the size of individual grants and then help distribute those funds. The bill defines micro businesses as ones that employ 10 or fewer full-time employees. And at 5:27, time for traffic and transit on the sevens with Lou Adams. Coming up in just a minute, we'll have more on the economy with Simon Constable of the Wall Street Journal. But here's Lou Adams with the traffic.
We have some delays across the Staten Island-bound Verrazano Bridge with overnight construction being cleared. Construction still there at the Brooklyn Battery Tunnel with just one lane open in each direction. No major backups so far at the Lincoln Tunnel, the Holland, or the George Washington Bridge, and traffic sponsored by NBC's Law & Order Organized Crime. Big news, Law & Order fans. After 10 long years, Stabler is finally coming home. Christopher Maloney returns in Law & Order Organized Crime, part of an epic Law & Order crossover event, SVU, followed by Law & Order Organized Crime tonight on NBC. With traffic on the sevens, I'm Lou Adams on 77 WABC.
All right, just a minute. We'll talk with Simon Constable from the Wall Street Journal. But first, Deb Valentine has all the latest local headlines you need to know.
All right, now what's trending from the 77 WABC Early News Desk. I'm Deborah Valentine, 47 Light Rain. A big five-alarm fire this at a factory on Davidson Street in Mariners Harbor on Staten Island yesterday. Five firefighters and an EMS worker were injured. Smoke from that blaze could be seen from miles away. It wasn't declared under control until 7:30 last night, the cause under investigation. Well, you heard Frank talk about it a little bit. A big uptick of cases of COVID-19 in the state of New Jersey. The governor holding a press conference yesterday. The state now in its third wave of COVID-19. Many counties considered high risk now. And interestingly, hospitalizations are up, especially among young people. Health Commissioner Judith Persichelli thinks this spike is due to variants.
The largest increase is among the ages of 40 and 49. This could explain why ventilator use is declining, -4% over the past 2 weeks, because seeing younger individuals in the hospital who may not need ventilator assist.
Now, decline in the uptick is not expected until at least early summer. The largest increase in those hospitalizations among the 40 to 49-year-old age group, experiencing a 48% increase. And the second largest increase is among 20 to 29-year-olds, with hospitalizations increasing some 31%. A knife-wielding man arrested at Battery Park after slashing a couple and their one-year-old. Police arresting 30-year-old Derry Jones, charges not yet announced by the NYPD. Well, congestion pricing in Midtown is a step closer to becoming reality.
The feds have given the okay for New York to proceed with a shorter environmental review, clearing a major hurdle. But this driver is dreading congestion pricing, which would impose a toll on people driving south of 60th Street.
It makes it hard for everybody who's going through this pandemic. It's going to be tough.
It could add an extra $10 to $15 per ride, but it's expected to bring in $1 billion a year, money that would support the cash-strapped MTA. I'm Sarah Lee Kessler for 77 WABC News.
Investigations are underway into two separate deaths involving children. The NYPD investigating the death of a two-year-old found unconscious and unresponsive at an Elton Avenue apartment in the Bronx. Also under investigation is the death of an eight-month-old who died after having difficulty breathing at a residence on St. Nicholas Avenue in Manhattan. Fox National headlines are next.
Fox News, I'm Jill Nato. At least four people dead after a gunman opened fire at an office building outside of Los Angeles in the city of Orange. Among the dead is a child. Police Lieutenant Jennifer Ahmet.
Orange is a very safe city, and we don't have stuff like this that happens very often.
That suspect hospitalized in critical condition. President Biden's unveiled a $2.3 trillion spending plan aimed at bolstering infrastructure and jobs creation.
It's big, yes. It's bold, yes. and we can get it done.
He wants to see $600 billion go to bridges, roads, and airports with tax hikes on corporations to pay for it. But Republican Senator Ted Cruz is opposing that.
The only thing it appears they're in favor of is more government spending, more taxes.
The president's plan expected to span at least 8 years. America's listening to Fox News.
Entertaining and informative. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
5:32. It's just Frank Morano today. Juliet is enjoying a well-deserved day off, and I am just thrilled to be able to talk with one of my favorite broadcasters, financial commentators, and journalists, the author of the book, The Wall Street Journal Guide to the 50 Economic Indicators That Really Matter, the one and only Simon Constable. Good morning, Simon.
Good morning, Frank.
Simon, how much of a game changer in both the United States and in the UK have vaccines been, and are we starting to see that result in significant economic growth in both of those countries?
Thank you, Frank. It's a great question. The vaccine question is the question that will determine when we can all get back to whatever amounts to normal. And certainly the last year or so has not been normal. The UK and the US are the two best countries that are rolling out the vaccine for large countries. Now, I know America is an enormous country, over 300 million people, but Britain's a large country and it's got 60 million people. And these two economies, you wouldn't know it from reading newspapers in both Britain and America, but they're both doing really, really well. And mainland Europe is doing really, really badly. So I think that the UK and America are going to be off to the races relatively soon. So, for instance, per 100 people in the population, more than half of those have had at least one jab given to them in the UK, and it's approaching that in the US as well. And that compares with within, you know, France, Germany, places like that, where it's far, far lower. And we're not talking things that could be sort of statistical error. We're talking large differences. So I think that the US and the UK are going to uplift for full economic activity much sooner than anywhere else. And they've done a much better job. And again, you wouldn't know that from, you know, reading reports in newspapers. But let's celebrate that. That ingenuity of capitalism has done really, really, really well.
Now, a lot of attention being paid today to President Biden's $2 trillion infrastructure package. Now, this comes, of course, after a multi-trillion dollar COVID financial aid package. Give me your reaction to President Biden's proposal. What sort of economic impact do you think this is likely to have in the United States and around the world?
I think it's going to be good for some companies, and I think in general it will help maybe get things going a bit. But here's the big problem with it. It's such an enormous amount of money, and it will definitely mean higher taxes and more debt. And more debt is basically just a future tax. Don't mistake one for the other. Basically, if they borrow, it's a future tax. It's taxes on your kids, taxes on you in the future, or it's higher taxes now, or in Biden's case, I think both. These are enormous sums of money, and yeah, they look very appealing right now, but it's sort of like going a bit nuts. Yes, the U.S. does need some infrastructure, you know, better roads. I mean, anyone who's driven around New York or gone in a cab from JFK to Manhattan will know that the roads need fixing. And that's not just, you know, unique to New York. It's anywhere in the U.S. It needs upgrading. The question is, what other stuff in that bill is just pork? Is just basically, a billion here, a billion there, tossed around to get votes. And it's that bit of it that I really worry about a lot more. And it could be a lot lower if they were a bit more judicious about it. Maybe it will be by the time it's done. But I think the amounts of money we're talking about are so massive. I wonder what Ronald Reagan would be saying. He'd probably be spinning in his grave right now.
Simon, it is always a treat to be able to talk to you, irrespective of the circumstances. Thanks for spending a few minutes with us this morning.
Pleasure. Thank you for having me.
You can check out Simon Constable on Twitter. His handle is Real Constable, spelled exactly as it sounds, Real Constable. You can also read him regularly in the pages of the Wall Street Journal, where he talks about everything from jobs numbers to Bitcoin. Speaking of jobs numbers, I'll have a lot more in our business update in just a few minutes. But first, at 5:37, time for traffic and transit on the sevens. Here's Lou Adams.
We have an accident now in New Jersey on the Garden State Parkway, northbound at exit 145. That's blocking the right lane. Traffic building up in Brooklyn on the BQE, northbound approaching Hamilton Avenue, and in Queens on the westbound LIE around Junction Boulevard. Clearing the overnight construction on the Staten Island-bound Verrazano Bridge. Construction has been cleared at the Brooklyn Battery Tunnel. In Brantford, Connecticut, northbound 95 after exit 56, an accident with an overturned tractor-trailer is now taking out two lanes. With traffic on the sevens, I'm Lou Adams on 77 WABC.
5:38, this is the 77 WABC Early News. I'm Frank Moreno. If you're waking up right now and you hear my voice in the tri-state area, chances are you're probably waking up to light rain. And forecasters are indeed warning that there could be some fog in the atmosphere, making for low visibility during your commute this morning. Northern parts of the state might actually be experiencing a mix of rain and snow. That's right, snow upstate. That is not an April Fool's joke, but the weather pattern is expected to gradually make its way out of the area today. Temperatures will be in the mid-40s, but could feel cooler as wind gusts could get as high as 30 miles per hour. I'll have the latest, now that you know your weather forecast, I'll have the latest on the jobs forecast in just a minute. This is the 77 WABC Early News. I'm Frank Moreno.
All the news that's fit to be heard. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC.
5:40, this is the 77 WABC Early News. I'm Frank Moreno. The opening bell rings this morning after a late-day dip in the Dow Jones Industrial Average kept the major indexes from having a clean sweep of gains yesterday. The tech-heavy NASDAQ, that's been battered in recent weeks, gained 1.5% on the day. At the close, the Dow was down 85 points to 32,981. The S&P 500 gained 14 to close at 3972, and the NASDAQ scored 201 points to 13,246. Now, the weekly report on first-time claims for unemployment benefits comes out this morning, and analysts expect to see the unemployment lines getting a little longer. They're forecasting 684,000 Americans filing initial claims last week, up from 650,000 the week before. The numbers are due at 8:30 this morning. Construction spending figures for March will be out at 10 o'clock this morning. Building industry experts are calling for an increase in spending of 1.7% over January. That's what's happening in the world of business. Outside the world of business, Johnson & Johnson says it still expects to deliver 24 million COVID vaccine doses by the end of this month. But right now, the shipments are on hold, and it's apparently no surprise to the White House. Officials reportedly knew about the production problems 2 weeks ago, although this is the first that we're hearing of it. Packer fans are going to get to see a new skill from quarterback Aaron Rodgers. The quarterback will start his stint as Jeopardy guest host next week. Rodgers taped the episodes weeks ago, but they will finally air starting on Monday. Rodgers will fill in for 10 episodes for a full two-week run. This week, Dr. Mehmet Oz has been hosting Jeopardy, and I must admit that while I was initially skeptical, I think he's doing a pretty good job. And the party in the back is over. Trinity College, not the one here in New York, but a private boys' school in Perth, Australia, banned mullet haircuts, calling the look untidy and not acceptable. The retro-inspired long-in-the-back haircut doesn't meet the school's high standard for personal and personal presentation. That's the word from officials there. And you won't want to get burned by this selfie hotspot. The Russian government is pleading with tourists to stop snapping selfies right next to an active popular, an active volcano popular with daredevil social media influencers. Stay away from this, quote, dangerous phenomenon, says Russia's Department of Emergencies Ministry. And cops in Arizona seized 11 pounds of meth hidden in bags of yellow mustard, according to authorities. Robbery detectives were investigating a home invasion in Phoenix when they made the discovery. They also found 53,000 fentanyl pills and nearly $12,000 in cash. No word if the fentanyl pills were being hidden in bottles of ketchup. California's governor is calling a mass shooting in his state horrifying and breathtaking. A child and three adults were found gunned down in Orange County yesterday. A woman was also wounded. She and the suspect are both said to be hospitalized and in critical condition. Jurors in the murder trial of former Minneapolis cop Derek Chauvin will hear more witnesses today. 12 people have already testified this week. One man cried on the witness stand yesterday as he watched video of George Floyd screaming, "I can't breathe." You can bet you'll be hearing about that trial and a whole lot more related to the Chauvin case throughout the day on the program. And at 5:44, the Missouri House is formally condemning the state's high court decision in the 1852 Dred Scott case. Scott and his wife were denied freedom after being enslaved for years. They had been in states where slavery was abolished before returning to Missouri. That was an integral court decision that helped prompt the Civil War. And beware, it's going to cost you more to buy toilet paper. The company that makes Cottonelle, Scott, and Viva brands says it's raising prices due to the cost of raw materials rising. The company will also hike prices on its Kleenex, tissues, hygiene products, and Huggies diapers. Boy. All right. We'll have traffic and transit at 5:47 with Lou Adams. But first at 5:45, sitting in for Sid Rosenberg, who is filming the television program Gravesend, is our own Christian Arnold with sports. Good morning, Christian.
Well, good morning, Frank. Obviously, opening day, exciting for everyone. The big story in Queens today is Francisco Lindor signs a 10-year contract extension with the New York Mets.
As a Met fan, I'm excited, I'll tell you that.
Well, Frank, get used to hearing that sound. I know you're a big Metropolitans fan. A 10-year, $341 million contract extension for the superstar shortstop. Now, that's the largest ever in franchise history, near doubling the previous record of $138 million over 8 years that the Mets gave David Wright in 2012. The news broke just before midnight and the day of Lindor's self-imposed deadline to get a deal done. The Mets star said he would not negotiate a new deal during the season and his contract expired after the 2021 MLB season. The Mets had previously offered Lindor a 10-year contract worth $325 million, but Lindor countered with a 12-year proposal worth $385 million, so they met a little bit in the middle. They play the Nationals tonight at 7:09 in the nation's capital. Game is set for 7:09, as I said, on ESPN with Jacob deGrom on the hill. Back here in New York, the Yankees open their season in the Bronx this afternoon, a 1:05 p.m. first pitch. It will be the first time since 2019 that fans will be back in the stadium. And Yankees manager Aaron Boone says his team is chomping at the bit to get back on the field.
The hunger with these guys, and I'm really comfortable and excited about where they are in their mental frame of mind as far as their hunger to go out and really put together a great season.
Like I said, first pitch between the Yankees and the Toronto Blue Jays is scheduled for 1:05. On the hardwood, the Knicks choked down the stretch last night in a 102-100 loss to the Minnesota Timberwolves in Tom Thibodeau's first game against his former team. R.J. Barrett missed a shot at the buzzer after the Knicks blew a double-digit lead twice in the second half. Julius Randle had 26 points and 12 rebounds for New York, and Barrett added 23 points of his own. But both players went ice cold down the stretch, Thibodeau voicing his frustration after the game.
Well, it's disappointing. It's, you know, we had a big lead in the first half, and we didn't take care of it, and we repeated it. We're disappointed because of the turnovers. We beat ourselves.
Knicks move back to 500. They host Dallas tomorrow night at the Garden. Nets with a win in Brooklyn, 120-108 over the Houston Rockets. Islanders and Rangers both in action tonight. Rangers play the Buffalo Sabres. Islanders host the Washington Capitals. With sports at 15 and 45, I'm Christian Arnold for the 77 WABC Early News.
And at 5:47, time for traffic and transit on the sevens. If you want to know how to get to work today, Lou Adams has your answer.
We have an accident now in New Jersey on the Garden State Parkway, northbound at exit 145. That's blocking the right lane. Traffic building up in Brooklyn on the BQE, northbound approaching Hamilton Avenue, and in Queens on the westbound LIE around Junction Boulevard. Clearing the overnight construction on the Staten Island-bound Verrazano Bridge. Construction has been cleared at the Brooklyn Battery Tunnel. In Brantford, Connecticut, northbound 95 after exit 56, an accident with an overturned tractor-trailer is now taking out two lanes. With traffic on the sevens, I'm Lou Adams on 77 WABC.
We'll have more news coming your way in just a few minutes, including if you missed yesterday's exclusive debate, the first of the Republican mayoral primary season here on WABC. We have all of the audio from that debate. I'll play it for you.
All the news that's fit to be heard. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC.
At 5:50, this is the 77 WABC Early News. I'm Frank Morano. Cops in South Carolina lured a wild coyote out of a couple's home using dog toys. Sandy Ferguson of Spartansburg said the canine got into her house via a doggy door and refused to leave. Officers tossed a stuffed animal dog toy and a frisbee at the coyote, and he bolted. How's that for creative thinking? And the big movie at the box office this holiday weekend is expected to be Godzilla vs. Kong. The new movie, starring the iconic monsters, hit theaters on Wednesday and will also stream on HBO Max. It's expected to rake in over $20 million this weekend, which wouldn't be much in normal times, but would make it one of the biggest hits of the pandemic. As vaccinations ramp up and more theaters open, industry experts are waiting to see if consumers are ready to watch a big Hollywood blockbuster on the big screen again. I saw one of the films nominated for Best Picture yesterday, Minari. I didn't see it in theaters, but I did pay the $20 to watch it at home. And if you tune into The Other Side of Midnight tonight, beginning at 1 a.m., I will give you my exclusive review of that film. And you may know today is Holy Thursday. You may know today is also April Fool's Day. It is April 1st. But no fooling. Today is also National Burrito Day. Oh, yes. Chipotle is going hard to celebrate the Mexican favorite with its Burrito or Bitcoin online game. People will get 10 chances to guess a six-digit password for a chance to win $25,000 in cryptocurrency. Some of the other usual suspects are holding more traditional promotions like buy one, get one free burritos at El Pollo Loco and Del Taco. Check around for other deals at your favorite restaurants if you're interested in celebrating National Burrito Day. A new CBS sitcom from writer-producer Chuck Lorre debuts tonight, and it's already stirring up controversy for its portrayal of a U.S. military interpreter from Afghanistan. After seeing the trailer for The United States of Al, many complained about the casting of an Iranian actor to the role of an Afghan interpreter, Al. Executive producer Reza Aslan took to Twitter to defend the show, asking people to speak from facts, not feelings, and to actually watch it before they form opinions. Imagine that. He noted that four of the five Afghans in the show are played by actual Afghan actors. People also were taking issue with what they see as the potential to whitewash the relationship between the military and the interpreters. Aslan said the people behind the show have actually talked with dozens of Afghan interpreters living in the United States, and that this show is literally their story. The United States of Al premieres on CBS at 8:30 tonight. Sour Patch Kids is giving away up to $25,000 to some pranksters. A press release says Sour Patch Kids wants to bring mischievous fun back to its favorite holiday after it was canceled last year due to the coronavirus pandemic. The popular candy set up a Sour Patch prank fund to inspire its customers to partake in fun but safe pranks. The company will reward fans with not only cash, but sweet candy prizes as well. To earn a prize, you have to share your prank video on TikTok. The candy brand will randomly select 25 lucky winners to be awarded $1,000. Another 100 participants will win free candy. I must admit, I've never really been partial to Sour Patch candies. I mean, what's the point? It's sour. You gotta, I've never liked it. A treasure hunter who dug up a historic cemetery in Yellowstone National Park will spend time in prison. Roderick Craythorn was sentenced to 6 months behind bars. He apologized for damaging Fort Yellowstone's cemetery while searching for the Forrest Fenn treasure. Fenn stashed cash and jewels and gave hints about its location in a poem. It was found last June in Wyoming, but not by Craythorn. I am reading this story, and I am just picturing my Uncle Steve. My Uncle Steve is one of the great metal detectors of the New York area. I mean, I don't know how great he is at metal detecting, but I can tell you he does it pretty often. And I have a feeling he's often metal detecting in areas that he shouldn't. So I'm glad that this happened to Roderick Craythorn and not my Uncle Steve. We'll have traffic and transit in 2 minutes with Lou Adams. But Dodgers outfielder Mookie Betts still has the top-selling jersey in Major League Baseball. He retained this top spot in sales released by Major League Baseball on Wednesday. Dodgers teammate Cody Bellinger is second, followed by the Padres' Fernando Tatis Jr., Bryce Harper of the Phillies, and Dodgers pitcher Clayton Kershaw. Aaron Judge and Mike Trout round out the top 10. And a Florida lizard is being rehomed after making its way across state lines. WBZ-TV reporting, a brown anole recently hitched a ride in a car from Florida all the way to Massachusetts. When the person discovered the lizard inside their car, they took it to the Animal Rescue League of Boston to be rehomed. Officials applauded the person's actions and reminded the public to never release non-native species into the wild. Doing so can create vast ecological problems, I'll say. And lastly, before we go to traffic, a North Carolina man is celebrating after winning the lottery twice within 2 weeks of each other. Henry Harvey, the second, told state lottery officials he won $5,000 on a scratch-off, only to turn around and win another $100,000. He says he was extremely happy and surprised to take home a win twice. Harvey plans to stick his winnings in the bank. Lucky, lucky fella. We hope he doesn't win a third time. 5:57, you're a winner if you're trying to get to work, because if you stay tuned, Lou Adams will tell you exactly the best route to do it, because he's got traffic and transit on the sevens.
Working on an accident eastbound on the Grand Central just after the Clearview. That is blocking one lane, and westbound the LIE is slow from the Grand Central over to Woodhaven Boulevard. Still minor delays at the Lincoln, the Holland, and the George Washington Bridge. It is slow on the BQE northbound up to Hamilton Avenue. And in New Jersey, a crash on the Garden State Parkway northbound at exit 145 is now on the shoulder. Traffic sponsored by NBC's Law & Order Organized Crime. Big news, Law & Order fans, after 10 long years, Stabler is finally coming home. Christopher Maloney returns in Law & Order Organized Crime, part of an epic Law & Order crossover event. SVU followed by Law & Order Organized Crime tonight on NBC. With traffic on the sevens, I'm Lou Adams on 77 WABC.
5:58, the Defense Department is starting to overturn the Trump administration's ban on transgender service members 60 days after an executive order from President Biden. Two new policies announced yesterday will make it easier for transgender people to sign up and get medical treatment. They prohibit discrimination based on gender identity and bring the department back in line with 2016 policies. Now, these changes will take effect on April 30th. And Johnson & Johnson says it still expects to deliver 24 million vaccine doses by the end of this month. But right now, those shipments are on hold and apparently comes as no surprise to the White House. A new report in Politico claims the Biden administration knew about production problems 2 weeks ago. Workers at a plant in Baltimore accidentally mixed up ingredients with another COVID shot, ruining 15 million doses. Whew, boy. And fans of The Masked Singer are reacting to the latest star to leave. The Grandpa Munster was unmasked last night and turned out to be Logan Paul. He knew he didn't belong, saying afterwards, "I never stood a chance. What am I doing here? I'm a YouTubing boxing Pokemon collector," as he made his exit from the competition show. Paul endorsed Black Swan, who he said is very good. Hey, coming up in just a minute, we'll have Fox News, national news, followed by local news with Deb Valentine. And I'll bring you exclusive audio from the 77 WABC Republican mayoral primary debate. This is the 77 WABC Early News. More business, weather, traffic, and sports in just a moment. But first, here's the national news, courtesy of Fox.
The rooster for your morning. All the news you need to know. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Good morning, good morning. This is the 77 WABC Early News. I'm Frank Morano. Juliet Huddy is off today. My thanks to Gabby, our associate producer, who's doing a great job at the controls, and Christian Arnold, who is doing a terrific job filling in for Sid Rosenberg with sports. We'll have traffic with Lou Adams in just 2 minutes. And Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez has finally addressed the border crisis, but she's done it in a manner that may surprise you. And Sid Rosenberg, Deb Valentine did allude to the fact that our former colleague Curtis Sliwa did take on Fernando Mateo in yesterday's Republican New York City mayoral debate. We have exclusive audio, which I'm going to bring to your attention in just a moment. And there's a whole lot of other news related to what's happening in New York and the nation, including the rather surprising news surrounding Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz. So a whole lot of news coming your way. 6:07, though, time for traffic and transit on the sevens. Here is Lou Adams.
We have a stalled vehicle in the Bronx westbound on the Cross Bronx by the Sheridan that is blocking one lane in Queens. It is slow on the westbound LIE beginning before the Grand Central over to Woodhaven Boulevard. And in Brooklyn, that inbound Gowanus northbound BQE combination is slow from 38th Street up to the Brooklyn Bridge. In New Jersey, accident on the Garden State Parkway northbound at exit 145. You also have slowdowns in Connecticut, 95 northbound by exit 56 in Brantford. That's an overturned tractor-trailer that is taking out a couple of lanes. Alternate side parking rules are suspended today for Holy Thursday, but the meter rules remain in effect. With traffic on the sevens, I'm Lou Adams on 77 WABC.
All right, 6:08. The big story, at least at our radio station, was the exclusive debate held yesterday at stage 77. Two of the leading contenders for the Republican mayoral nomination, Curtis Sliwa and Fernando Mateo, going head to head in a debate that you can watch and listen to for yourself by going to WABCradio.com. It wasn't all bad, though. Fernando Mateo, the taxi and bodega advocate, did at some point actually try to work in a compliment for his adversary, Curtis Sliwa.
I admire that he's going out to bat for New York City. I've known Curtis for 45 years. He was a kid when he formed the Guardian Angels. I own the carpets on Avenue A. And you know what? I admired him. I still admire him as a human being because of the work that he's done, the sacrifices that he's taken for the city of New York. And I compliment you on your achievements. And I'm telling you this as a brother, okay? I wish you the best.
Now, Curtis Sliwa's idea of a compliment for Fernando Mateo was a bit different.
Fernando, I got to tell you, you haven't aged.
He also at one point complimented Fernando Mateo's carpeting because 45 years ago in Curtis's apartment, Fernando Mateo was the person that put down the carpet. Now, it wasn't all compliments, though. The two candidates did go after one another pretty significantly.
You know, is it?
You were in Irvington, Westchester.
You weren't supervising the operation. That's a failed business.
Once again, you are wrong.
Google it.
You are wrong.
By the way,
you are wrong.
Let me ask you
He hasn't answered my question.
Let me ask you another question.
He hasn't answered the question.
He hasn't answered the question,
and he's once again reinventing his life.
You invested $4 billion in a building
in
Harlem.
Not four billion.
You paid a man who didn't even own the property. I'm telling you, you should look on my Curtis Sliwa for Mayor.com campaign page, and it's
this guy should be ashamed of himself.
The opportunity to open up a business,
Curtis,
and you have to check the title.
Curtis, you should be ashamed of yourself.
I'm not. Just
you're a shameful person. Okay, you know, I just lost every bit of respect that I might have had for you.
Okay.
Because of your lies.
Guys.
Because you make things up. Because you're desperate. You know what? Because you're desperate.
Okay.
Guys. You haven't raised any money.
Relax.
You haven't raised any money. Guys, listen. Curtis Sliwa has not raised any money. Curtis Sliwa does not have any donors. Curtis Sliwa is in trouble. And you know what? He's talking about failures that I've had in business.
I tell you what.
Every business person, everyone that owns a business could fail, get up, and get up again and run with it.
Okay, Mr.
He has not answered the question.
Okay, you've had a lot of time on this. Quickly, Mr. Sliwa, and then you ask your
question. Go to Curtis Sliwa for Mayor.com and help me get the money that he claims that I need to run this election.
No, go to Mateo.com.
That was pretty much what you heard throughout the entire two-hour presentation. Again, you can watch and listen to the entire debate for yourself by going to WABCradio.com. The Republican primary for mayor will be in June. Sarah Tershwell is competing as well as a number of other candidates. Well, not a Republican by any means, a progressive Democrat, Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, has finally addressed the border crisis, but only to accuse anyone using the term surge of pushing white supremacist views. Ocasio-Cortez has been accused of ducking the issue of the overcrowding of migrant detention centers, despite saying they were akin to concentration camps under the Trump administration. So she appeared outraged when asked during an Instagram Live Ask Me Anything session on Tuesday why she was not addressing the border crisis and the kids in cages like she used to. Her response, "Are you for real? It's not a border crisis. It's an imperialism crisis. It's a climate crisis. It's a trade crisis." But people don't want to have that conversation. They want to say, but what about the surge? Well, first of all, just gut check, stop. Anyone who's using the term surge around you consciously is trying to invoke a militaristic frame, insists Congresswoman Ocasio-Cortez. And President Biden is showing support for striking out Atlanta as the host of this year's Major League Baseball All-Star Game. The idea came about in response to recently signed legislation that puts a tighter grip on voting laws in Georgia. Biden told ESPN those who are victimized are the people who are the leaders in these various sports. He also thinks pro athletes today are acting incredibly responsibly and gave his stamp of approval for moving the Midsummer Classic, which takes place in July. Biden's interview came on the eve of baseball's opening day. Two toddlers are okay after they were dropped over the southern border wall in New Mexico. Customs and Border Protection says the children were dropped over the roughly 14-foot barrier near Sunland Park yesterday by smugglers who quickly took off. The Border Patrol rescued them and took them to a hospital to be checked out. They're now waiting for a placement by Health and Human Services. Agents say the 3 and 5-year-olds are sisters from Ecuador. A Border Patrol chief said she was appalled by the way these innocent children were treated. And the top Republican in the House says sexual misconduct allegations against Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz are serious. Gaetz is reportedly under investigation over a possible relationship with a 17-year-old. House GOP leader Kevin McCarthy says the claims have serious implications. He noted that Gaetz denies any wrongdoing, adding they don't have all the information about the situation. He did say, though, that if it turns out to be true, Gaetz would be removed from his committee assignments. And former vice presidential nominee and Alaska Governor Sarah Palin is urging people to continue to take the pandemic seriously after she was diagnosed with COVID-19. She told People magazine that she was among a group of her family members that contracted the virus. Palin stressed that she is proof that anyone can catch the virus. She says the virus can really knock you down and asked everyone to continue being vigilant as the pandemic continues. So we'll be monitoring that situation. And don't worry about being pranked on this April Fool's Day, at least not by Google. The tech giant is canceling its traditional jokes for the second year in a row. It's out of respect for those fighting COVID-19, since much of the world is still dealing with serious challenges. A memo to workers told them to continue finding appropriate ways to bring moments of joy to users throughout the year. And at 6:15, Sid Rosenberg is off filming the television program Gravesend in Florida. Sitting in for him, as he will be doing this Sunday on the Sid Sports Spectacular, is our very own Christian Arnold.
I did not know Sid was away filming a television show. That's shocking news.
I know, isn't it?
Also, shocking news that came to Met fans late last night, the signing of Francisco Lindor. He's here to stay for the next 10 years.
Lindor rips one down the right field line. If it's fair, it's a grand slam. Francisco Lindor knocks in four, and the Mets take a 7-0 lead.
Mets fans can get used to that sound for the next 10 years as Lindor agreed to a $341 million contract extension late last night. Now, this is the largest ever in franchise history, nearly doubling the previous record of $138 million over 8 years that the Mets gave David Wright in 2012. The agreement came as the clock turned to midnight and also the day of Lindor's self-imposed deadline to get a deal done. The Mets star had said he would not negotiate a new deal during the regular season, and his contract was up after this year. The Mets had previously offered Lindor a 10-year contract worth $325 million, but Lindor countered with a 12-year proposal worth $385 million, so they met in the middle. The Mets open their season tonight in Washington, D.C. against the Nationals. First pitch is set for 7:09 on ESPN, with Jacob deGrom set to start. Here in New York, the Yankees open their season in the Bronx this afternoon. It will be the first time that fans will be in the building since 2019, though there is some concern that rain may dampen the party. But it seems like, as a weather report suggested, the weather will be a little bit clearer around first pitch, which is set for 1:05. Garrett Cole will be on the mound in a special afternoon for him as well. His dad will be in the stands to watch him pitch. Football news, Giants co-owner John Mara said the team is not looking at extending the contract of running back Saquon Barkley at the moment. Barkley is recovering from knee surgery after tearing his right ACL early last season. John Mara spoke with the media yesterday afternoon.
We're not in any hurry to do that at this point in time, particularly after the money we just spent. But listen, I said at the end of the season, I'll say it again, we hope he's going to be a Giant for life. And at the appropriate time, we'll start those discussions.
The Brooklyn Nets, with a come-from-behind victory 120-108, taking first place in the Eastern Conference. They did lose James Harden, though. Brooklyn Nets head coach, says that he's not concerned that Harden will be out for long term. The Knicks choked down the stretch in a 102-101 loss to the Minnesota Timberwolves. Tonight on the ice, the Islanders host the Washington Capitals, and the New York Rangers take on the Buffalo Sabres. With sports at 15 and 45, I'm Christian Arnold for the 77 WABC Early News.
At 6:17, Lou Adams has your traffic and transit on the 7s. Good morning, Lou.
Slow traffic in Queens on the westbound LIE. It is busy from before the Grand Central over to Woodhaven Boulevard. And on the Cross Bronx, westbound at the Sheridan, a stalled vehicle is still blocking one lane. Building up toward the 5-minute mark at the city-bound Lincoln and Holland tunnels. No major backups with the George Washington Bridge. And traffic sponsored by LifeLock Identity Theft Protection. Tax season can be a big headache if identity thieves steal personal info from your tax forms. LifeLock helps protect, monitor, monitor and restore your identity. No one can monitor all transactions at all businesses, but you can save up to 25% off your first year at LifeLock.com, promo code RISK. With traffic on the sevens, I'm Lou Adams on 77 WABC.
Thank you, Lou. Quite a bit happening in the world of business. Everyone is still talking about President Biden's infrastructure proposal. Republicans are balking at the cost and the nature of the spending. But that seemed to at least be a factor in all of the Wall Street trading that took place yesterday. The tech-heavy NASDAQ that's been battered in recent weeks gained 1.5% on the day. At the close, the Dow was down 85 points, and the S&P 500 gained 14, and the NASDAQ soared 201 points. Now, a chip shortage, not that type of chip, is forcing Ford to cut production at 6 plants. Ford is cutting production at 6 of its North American plants as a worldwide shortage of semiconductor chips keeps disrupting the automotive industry. Ford will cancel overtime shifts and temporarily stop production for up to 3 weeks from April through June. The company's truck plant in Dearborn, Michigan will close down for 2 weeks this month, and truck production will pause for a week at the Ford plant in Kansas City. The overtime cancellations will hit workers at plants in Illinois, Ohio, Kentucky, and Ontario, Canada from now until June. Speaking of automotive news, be aware before getting behind the wheel of a Honda. The automaker says fuel pumps in some CRVs can stop working, meaning the engine could stall, but that's not the only model affected. A new recall of 628,000 vehicles across the nation covers most of the Honda and Acura lineup from 2018 to 2020. That included Civic, Odyssey, Passport, Pilot, MDX, and RDX. Owners will be notified next month. And I got an earful from my mom, at least via text message, because I seemed to cast aspersions on her metal detector brother, my Uncle Steve. Well, let me give you some good metal detector news. A Maryland firefighter is reunited with his missing medallion after a wave swept it away almost a year ago. Donnie Fletcher told WRC-TV he and almost a dozen other people dug around the area in the hopes of finding it, turned up with nothing. That's until Ken Askey recently discovered the medallion while metal detecting almost 50 miles away from where it went missing. Askey was able to use the info on the necklace to return it back to Fletcher. Now Fletcher is planning to never take it off. Starting today, domestic travelers will no longer be required to quarantine when coming to New York State. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio blasted the move, calling it reckless. The city's top doctors point out 5 to 10% of all New York City coronavirus cases are linked to travel. A mandatory quarantine remains in effect for international travelers. All travelers still have to fill out a health form and are expected to self-isolate if any coronavirus symptoms develop within 14 days. This yet another chapter in the ongoing battle between Mayor de Blasio and Governor Andrew Cuomo. And a new dog grooming competition on ABC is getting backlash from some dog lovers. Pooch Perfect premiered Tuesday and won the ratings for the 8 p.m. hour with nearly 4 million viewers. The show is hosted by actress Rebel Wilson, who comes from a family of dog show competitors and features dog groomers from across the U.S. competing for $100,000. Not all viewers enjoyed the show. Some complained on Twitter that the dogs on the show looked uncomfortable and they felt bad for them. Before the series launched, one of the show's judges said they only chose dogs that love the attention. Well, I mean, do you really know if a dog loves the attention? I'm not quite sure how you measure that. And there's a new top honcho atop Trump world. It's been nearly 3 months since he left office, but former President Donald Trump is already reorganizing his nascent White House political operation, his nascent post-White House political operation, bringing in veteran political consultant Susie Wiles to instill order. Wiles has been tasked with overseeing Trump's fundraising operation and creating a system for issuing endorsements. Notably, she will layer over Trump's former campaign manager Bill Stepien and deputy Justin Clark, as well as the committee of people who currently help decide endorsements. While Trump has expressed frustration with Stepien and Clark, as he has with many of his previous chiefs of staff and campaign managers, he's not firing either of them. So we'll see where what that means for candidates seeking President Trump's endorsement. And two teen brothers are helping their grandparents in Edison get vaccinated. 17-year-old Dylan and 15-year-old Sean Condry of Lawrenceville decided to take matters in their own hands when they saw their grandparents struggle to find a vaccine appointment. The boys launched njvaxfinder.com. That's njvaxfinder.com. The website includes a list of vaccine locations and a map which is easy to navigate. So if you're a New Jersey resident and you're eligible to get a vaccine, you may want to try this website, njvaxfinder.com. And Lowe's is inviting customers to celebrate spring with free Garden to Go project kits. Each week in April, the home improvement chain will give away different themed kits to families who register online. Registration begins today, and families can pick up the kits curbside at the more than 2,000 Lowe's stores in the United States and Canada. The drive-through event Lowe's is calling Springfest is similar to the curbside trick-or-treating that the chain had in October. So certainly sounds like a fun way to spend an early spring day. I must also take this moment before we run out of time here, and you're going to want to listen to the Bernie and Sid show coming up at 6:30, even though there is no Sid present. You still have Bernie, and I have a feeling Bernie is going to have a great deal to say about last night's Republican mayoral debate between Curtis Sliwa and Fernando Mateo. Do want to mention the show that we have on every day from 10 a.m. to noon following the Bernie and Sid show, Brian Kilmeade. We just got the ratings for the Brian Kilmeade show, and he has scored a tremendous ratings victory over a number of other talk shows, including WOR's Mark Simone. So congratulations to Brian Kilmeade. I know he works awfully hard, and that is a tremendous, tremendous victory. Congratulations to Brian Kilmeade on beating Mark Simone handily. And coming up on the Bernie and Sid show, Big Bad Bill O'Reilly at 8:40 is going to be on. He is on fire lately. I've been listening to him on my way into work each and every night. He's been doing some great shows. He's going to join Bernie exclusively at 8:40. And a lot of people wondering what the story is with China. And as I was driving home yesterday, I was listening to Sid say to Bernie, hey, why is no one talking about reparations for China for their mishandling of the coronavirus? Well, they have on one of the go-to experts on all things Asia coming up at 7:40, and that's Gordon Chang, author of the book Nuclear Showdown, North Korea Takes on the World, and the author of the book The Coming Collapse of China. That's all coming up on the Bernie and Sid show. Without Sid, but plenty of Bernie. I'll see you tomorrow. Have a good day.
We have a downed tree on the Meadowbrook Parkway. It is southbound at Sunrise Highway, blocking the exit ramp. Slow traffic in Queens on the westbound LIE from Main Street to Woodhaven Boulevard. On the southbound Harlem River Drive, slow traffic approaching the Triborough Bridge. In the Bronx, a stalled vehicle westbound Cross Bronx at the Sheridan blocks one lane. Westbound Bruckner delays approaching the Sheridan as well. And now the forecast from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center. Rain tapering to showers this afternoon with highs in the upper 40s. Mostly cloudy tonight, lows in the mid-30s. Mostly sunny and cold tomorrow with highs in the low 40s. It's 45 degrees and light rain from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center. I'm Lou Adams, Talk Radio 77, WABC.